Father, as we come to this point of the service that we desire, Lord God, to hear your word. We desire and open up our hearts, Lord God, that your word can change us, mold us, make us whatever you want us to be and how you want us to act in service and in our lives and make the impact in those that we come in contact with. Lord God, we're open and ready to receive what you have for us. We give you honor and we give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 1, I realized this morning that I have so much sermon that you can't bear to hear it all today. So I am, for your safety and comfort, going to try to make this into a two-part message, because when I look at the parable of the sower, when I look at all of the things that are involved in this passage, it really is too much to share in the 2 hours that I have left to go. Somebody say amen. Somebody at least acknowledge that I'm really not going to keep you here that long. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 1. What I hope to accomplish this morning is make this two parts. One is the power of the Word of God. And I think I sense God's presence this morning enough to know that the power of God falls, He can change lives. Say amen to that. The power of God falls, He can change circumstances. I don't care how dark it is, the sun can shine at a moment's notice with God's help in our lives. So I really want to take the next few minutes in the power of the Word of God, and then next week take understanding the power of God working in our lives and how the Word of God can fall on different soils and still make an impact in people's lives, still can make a change that's needed. When you look at this parable, it's the personal teaching of Jesus concerning the growth of the church in an aspect and the growing of ourselves spiritually and mentally. It is Jesus literally going from teaching in the synagogues to teaching and going out to the people, meeting them where they're at. I think it's really a great proof that Jesus will use all means to reach people. Say amen to that. Both in the synagogue where people come in to worship and going out and ministering to people at the beaches, going out to meeting people. Some of you want that job, don't you? Going out and meeting people where they're at. It's proof that he desires and wants fresh ways to go out and minister to us. John Wesley had this belief. And I love this. John Wesley had a belief that the Word of God had to be preached from the pulpit. And George Whitefield, who was his co-pastors and colleague, believed that going to the people and meeting them where they're at was the way to minister. And Wesley was so against it until he saw that, you know, his philosophy was one from the pulpit. You know, you preach hellfire and brimstone. You teach the Word of God from the pulpit. And George wanted to be hands-on, meet them where they're at, kind of the open-air thing, if you would. And Wesley struggled with that until he saw the results. He witnessed that both ways ministered to people, both ways were changing lives. And Wesley admits, he says, that I should have thought the saving of souls almost a sin if it had not been done in a church. But Wesley saw the field preaching in souls, and then he comes up and he says, I can't argue with facts. You say amen to that? That the Word of God can reach us where we're at. The Word of God can touch and change lives. And the parable here is a way of Jesus teaching and expressing the thought in a manner to people that were listening on how to get the Word of God in their life. An expression of compassion. Jesus used something that they could relate to and be ministered by. Mark chapter 4. Looking at verses 1 to 9. Mark chapter 4, 1 to 9. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them, saying many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Others fell along and among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear." The parable again, the story, not to be confused with an allegory like Pilgrim's Progress. When you look at Pilgrim's Progress, and if you ever read that book, each name, each circumstance had a situation. With a parable, it is better understood if you look at it as an observation. When you look at a passage or a parable and you see an operation, observation, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I grab as I looked at this verse. There's a farmer. There's a farmer that's planting and throwing seed. There's a farmer that is throwing the seed expecting a harvest. There's a farmer that understands that different soils will yield different results in the crop. He distinguished the different soils and he knew that there would be different results. Later in the chapter, Jesus shares his interpretation of this parable, and Jesus then tells them to listen. And if you're listening, then you need to respond. The farmer's goal, the whole goal for the farmer was in throwing the seed was that he wanted a harvest. He knew that the seeds had life in it. He knew that they needed to be planted in good soil. He knew that if he did things right, that it would produce the fruit and the conditions are right, that he would get the harvest that he's looking for. How many know that if you plant tomatoes, you're not going to get cucumbers? It only makes sense that once you're planting, you're desiring to get what you wanted to see happen. The farmer's intention was to see something grow, to see what he planted grow. How many wonder like me sometimes how anybody, I don't have anybody in particular, how somebody could sit and hear the gospel and not respond? You ever think that? How many understand that and can see sometimes that you know exactly what they need, and sometimes they know exactly what they need, and yet they fight God on all areas of their life? How many have seen somebody that has been, I mean, they're on fire. One Sunday, they're running down the aisle praising God. And then after a few months or maybe a year, you see them begin to drift. And it breaks your heart. And you wonder, how could that happen? How can they grab onto something and have it for a little while and then seem to let loose of it? Now, we have all kinds of different philosophies, we have all kinds of different traditions, we have all kinds of different doctrines that say what's going on at that point. But the bottom line is this: at some point, the Word of God did not stick. But I want you to know it's not the seeds that are the problem. Did you say amen to that? It's not the seeds. It's not the problem with the Word of God. It's our hearts and our conditions and the way that we process things and out of rebellion. The problem is not the soil. The problem is not the fact that God wants to reach us. It's a problem with our hearts. And if we look at this portion of Scripture, if we're looking at this and we're making that observation, the observation that we need to see here is the seed is the Word of God. The soils are different, but God wants to reach down and minister to us. The idea of the Word of God, the perfect Word of God, going into the right soil so that we would grow and see a harvest. And as far as the believer's concern, the seed is sown in our heart. The farmer plants the word. And then at some point, say amen to this, at some point as a believer, we need to become farmers too. God begins to plant in our lives. God begins to do a works in our life. And at some point, we have to become the farmers. And we begin to plant seeds. But here's the great thing about it. And here's what most people don't realize. We can't save anybody. We can't force somebody to have the right ground. We can't force them to do something that they don't want to do. But God tells us that we should be the planters because what? The Word tells us that God gives the increase. Amen to that. Takes all the responsibility off of us. Our only responsibility is to be a farmer, plant seed, use opportunity, make an impact, do things in people's lives that would show them the love of Christ. They need to be nurtured. They need to be presented the Word of God. But God gives the increase. God waters and gives the increase. I don't know about you, but that is a burden off of me. As a pastor, I'm telling you, that's a burden off of me that my responsibility is to plant the seed. God will give the increase. God will know and prepare the soil. This is the great thing about it. We don't know what kind of soil that person has that we're talking to. We don't know what God has already been doing in people's lives. We don't know. They could appear to have a hard heart. A heart that no seed would go down, but we don't know what God was doing. And our word of encouragement, our word to them, at that point might be the breaking point of where God grabs a hold of their hearts. Hebrews 4:12, and this is kind of the text for us in the next few minutes here. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Here's the great thing. That is a God thing. Do you hear me this morning? That's a God thing. That is a heart thing. God sees our heart. God knows our heart. God knows what needs to happen in our heart. God's word is alive. God's word can change people. God's word can, if we'll let it, cut out things in our lives that need to be cut out. God's word will draw us to a response. I've said it before, but I've seen people sitting in the pews, grabbing onto the back of the chairs, holding on during an altar time because God is trying to get a hold of their heart and they're going, "I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not." God's word will draw a response. I love this. Bible.org has some thoughts, and they said preaching has taken hard times. Some people and some preachers have gotten to the point because of television and because of movies and because of all the things that go on in media that people can't handle a 40-minute sermon. And then they go on to say, well, people can't handle that the Word of God talks about sin and a change and making amends with God and being accountable for our actions. They have become so seeker-friendly that they've denied the power of God. Say amen to that. They've denied the power of God. What, you know, I can't talk about sin because people will leave. I can't talk about life changes in people's life because they may get mad. Well, then we're denying the power of God working in people's lives because God's power changes lives. God's power and the anointing of the Word breaks through those things that are going on in our lives. Sinners need to know that they're sinners. Sinners need to know that they can't do it on their own. Believers that have come to Christ need to know that there is a process that we go through to grow and to be nurtured, and that you just can't sit there and say, "Okay, praise the Lord, I'm fire insurance. I'm not on my way to hell, so I don't have to do anything anymore, and just wait for Jesus to come and take me away." They say that we should never mention that. And the aim is to make everybody feel good. Well, I want you to know the Word of God isn't designed to make us feel good. The Word of God is to make us change and be drawn closer to God. Somebody should say amen, or I'll start all over because you need to get this. And I know some of you are hungry. Some were even hungry before we started. Hebrews 12 and 13, I believe, is one of the great biblical texts on the power of God. And if you look at that, the author has been warning the church of the danger of casual Christianity. See, as a pastor, I'm not going to stand before God and not be accountable that I didn't preach the word, that I didn't give an opportunity to plant seed, that I did not stand at this pulpit and say that you need to plant seed also. Since God sees, since God knows everything, including our thoughts, we'd be a fool to disobey God. Would you say amen to that? But yet people do it every day. Because God's word is powerful to expose our sin and to show us where God wants to make changes in our lives, we have to be diligent to have the right heart condition to want to just turn and give God that opportunity. They had the good news preached to them, but they did not unite with faith and obedience. The author is in Hebrews here is telling us that the power of God brings us into that rest, brings us into that peace, brings us into knowing that we need to make these changes, gives us the ability to know that God will help us through this. So when I look at this, I see God's word is living. I wish I could just go like this. God, let everything just fall in this head, because I have a hard time grasping it. Anybody besides me sometimes think that you wish you could get it. You wish you could grab onto it. You wish you could understand it. God's word is living. God's word can change us. Since God is the living word, that's what Hebrews 3:12 tells us, his word can't be separated from him. Here's where we get into a lot of problems. We say, we like the word of God, but I'm going to take this, this, and this out. You can't separate God from his word. You can't separate a truth from your own principle or your own beliefs. He tells us that his word can change us, but he makes no apologies for his word. Say amen to that. And we wanna change it. We wanna make it work for us. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. God's word imparts new life to dead sinners. We don't like that. We don't like to hear that we're sinners needing new life. We're sinners needing a way of redemption. A dead sinner can no more give himself spiritual life than a dead person can give themselves physical life. Oh, come on, anybody out there? You can't make that change. You can't do these things. God is the one that imparts new life. James tells us, in the exercise of his will, not our own, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Peter says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. You want to be converted? Listen to the word of God. You want to see other people changed in your ministry? Get them to read God's word. Allow God to be ministered to. See, if you're only getting fed on Sunday morning, spiritually you're starving. And I say that in a loving way. If the only time you're eating of God's word is when it's spoon-fed to you from someone else, you are missing what God wants in your life. John says, these signs, meaning the signs that have written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have this eternal life. God's word also imparts life to the believers. God's word changes dead sinners, changes us from needing a redeemer to having a redeemer. God's word changes us and renews us into the saints. I believe Mike and Grace are a perfect example, and others that have given their life. That's intentional. Do you understand that? That's intentional. You just don't say, well, I don't know how I served God for 40 years. Yeah, you do. You know how you served God for 40 years. You went through the rough times and God saw you through it. That's service. That's intentional. That's being renewed. That's allowing God to do these things. Each one of us know. If you've been a Christian for very long, you know there's dry times. And at those dry times is where you need God the most, to just say, hang in there. You will be able to make it. You will be able to do this. It only makes sense that a living God can have us living again. Say amen. God's word is active. God's word is the good soil that we'll talk about next week. That God's word is the good soil that'll bear good fruit. God's word tells us and shows us that if we're going to be in service, if we're going to allow God to be active in our lives, we're allowing it to be in good soil, and then we're allowing it, we're expecting a harvest. I hope you came this morning expecting God to speak to you, expecting the word of God to change or minister or show you something in your life this morning. I hope when we even go to a prayer time as corporately praying that you're saying, God, I'm praying corporately with everyone, but I have a request too, and you bring it to God, allowing Him to do it. And I hope that every time you walk through these doors and every time that you walk out of these doors, you're not the same, that God has done something to change your circumstance, something to change your attitude, something to change the way you look at things. Allowing God. The word says that it's like a two-edged sword. It's sharp. It cuts. And you're allowing the great physician to come in and to cut out what's needed. And understanding that sin is a growing cancer and that if it's untreated, it will be fatal. J.B. Lightfoot puts it this way concerning the sharp sword of God's word. He says, heals most completely when it wounds most deeply. You say amen to that? Anybody besides me been under the knife of God and sometimes it feels more than you can handle? That's when God wants to do the deepest work. When He wants to come in and God's purpose in cutting these things out of our lives is to bring healing. Say amen to that. God's whole desire is to bring healing. God's desire is not to leave us wounded, but because of the wounds we have, healing. God's word will cut you, but He brings healing. God Himself sees everything, including our deepest thoughts. Then why wouldn't we bring them to God? Why wouldn't we bring these things to God? Why wouldn't we allow Him to minister? It's impossible to hide from God. Just ask Adam and Eve. It's impossible to hide from God. It's impossible to hide sin. I know this is probably going to be crazy, but have you ever had the dream where you were naked in public? Everything is laid bare with God. No pun intended. Everything's laid bare. God uses that term in the New Testament, but it's really about exposing ourselves to Him and understanding that He sees all and that He wants to minister to all. The two words put together is kind of showing that there's no escape from God, a God that knows everything. Really, when you stop and think about it, sin is stupid. To think that you can hide that from God. And that one day we're going to stand before God and give an account of the deeds we have done in this body. That's a fact, Jack. You can put it aside. You can word it different. You can say, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, but each one of us will stand before God and give account of what we've done in this life. So it would be a good idea to try to please God. It would be a good idea to allow God to minister to us in those areas. 1202. Let me just recap this, and this is what we'll take into next week as we dig into the different soils. But if you really want God's word to work for you, you need to treasure God's word. This isn't decoration for your coffee table. This isn't something that you just bring to church on Sunday morning and give it a ride. God's word has to be treasured. God's word is to be valued. God's word is to be dug into when we need to find answers. Why are people so willing to pay a psychiatrist and all kinds of different people to a great amount of money to show them and tell them how their life needs to be run or what they need to do to change it, when God's word tells us some of these things that we need to change, some of the things that would cause us to have the peace that we're looking for? And then if God's word's going to be something that's of value, read, study, and memorize it. When you got yourself in a jam is not the time that you can call a pastor. Pastor, I know there was something about healing, but could you tell me where it was at? Or God, I am really going through a time of temptation, and I know you said something about that. To know the word. Do you understand the power of the word of God? The name of Jesus, there's power. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. And when you have to fight the devil, it better not be in your power. And it better be in the word of God instead of your word. Paul, I know, but who are you? Jesus, I know. Who are you? Apply, trust, and obey God's word. And then live it. Then live it. If we're going to understand the word of God, as we go next week and we look at these different soils and how God wants to, we need to live God's word. Once God shows you something, you need to make that change. You need to grab onto his truth. It's better to live on the good side of God than God chasing you down because he's already showed you something that he wants out of your life. I say the hounds of heaven are after you. And some of you will understand what I'm talking about, because when you go after your own desires where God is showing you things that he wants out of your life, you are literally trying to outrun God. And I want to tell you that don't work. Say amen to that. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I'm asking this morning that we really, truly would grab on to the truths of your word. There's some that are living in circumstances that are tough. Lord God, I'm asking that your word would reveal truth to them. Your word would give them comfort. Your word would give them strength. Your word would give them the direction that they need. Lord God, as we look this next week into the different soils, we could easily say, I know somebody that has that hard soil, that hard heart. But Lord God, really, we need to take a look at it, because truth be told, there's things in our lives that we have hard soil. There's things in our life that we have rocky soil. But Lord God, our desire is to everything that concerns the word of God pertaining to our lives, we want good soil. We want a harvest. We want to be blessed by your goodness. And we just ask that, Lord God, each one of us diligently would be studying your word, diligently memorizing verses and understanding principles, understanding that as much as the Lord has been a farmer in our lives planting seed, that we also, as children of God, have a responsibility to plant seed also. And help us to do that, Lord God. We could turn this area upside down for you if we would grab onto these truths and understand there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the word of God. There's power in prayer. There's power in obedience. May these fruits be active in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.